No one has shown more contempt for other nations and for the well-being of their own people than the depraved regime in North Korea. Now North Korea's reckless pursuit of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles threatens the entire world with unthinkable loss of human life. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime. The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea.
Hold it, man. He's not bluffing.
Listen to him, man. He's just crazy enough to do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
All across the state of Nevada and Southern California, we're coming at you live out of Las Vegas, Sin City. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall. He'll be back Monday, same time, same place. But for the next 2 hours, we've already got 1 hour under our belt. Thank you, Jameson, and thank you, callers. You make the time fly so fast. And another interview I have scheduled for you just coming up in a minute is what's become a very good friend of mine. I think we were separated at birth. We'll have to look at those birth records, Melanie. But I got Melanie Morgan. She is an award-winning journalist, talk show host, formerly with ABC Radio in San Francisco. She is currently working in new media as co-founder of MediaEqualizer.com and hosting duties at YourVoiceAmerica.com. She also started Stop the Scalpings, which is related to Media Equalizer. And you probably saw her on a blitz on Sean Hannity when she was trying to protect the vultures of the George Soros left. They've already forced Roger Ailes out. They forced Bill O'Reilly out. And they were going after all of the conservative talk because that's the type of fascists that they are. But Melanie stepped in and started Media Equalizer. So I'd like to welcome her to the show. Hi, Melanie.
Oh, Megan, thanks so much for having me on the broadcast. You know, I didn't realize that you were filling in for Kevin Wall, but I've known Kevin since I took two steps at toddlerhood. He and I are from the same hometown of Kansas City, Missouri, and we worked together in our early days in radio.
Oh, you're kidding. This world keeps getting smaller and smaller.
You and I have been talking about that because, well, you and I have been communicating about what's happened in Las Vegas and the terrible shootings. And, of course, here in Northern California, where I live, in the San Francisco Bay Area, we have had these extraordinary explosive fires that have been taking place. And it has just been a horrific situation. So we are waiting for the plague. The locusts are probably next. End days are near, it feels like, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think God is very angry with our country and the fact that his name keeps getting taken out of everything in the quest for multiculturalism and diversity of the progressive left. Can you please give us an update on the fires, though? Because you're up in San Francisco Bay Area. We have friends in Napa. We were all at dinner last Saturday before the fires broke out. And actually, I was talking to a vineyard owner last night who just happened to be at the same place I was at in town here and said, thank God, I was thinking about you. You know, how are things? And he said, well, my friends in Napa literally had no time to run. Like there were 65 mile an hour winds. Just to put this in perspective for our listeners, there were 65 mile an hour winds that blew these fires that were covering football fields in a matter of seconds. And some people had to run and they couldn't even get in their car.
You know, that's right. And those people who did get in their cars found huge traffic jams, so they couldn't get out. And many people had to just abandon their vehicles along the roads. I've never seen anything like this, Megan, really. I've covered a lot of hotspot reporting for ABC over the years. And I have to tell you that the earthquake in Mexico City, I've covered the bombings in Beirut, Lebanon. But what is happening just 30 minutes away from my home is heartbreaking because there's so much destruction being done. They say this is the worst fire now in the history of California. And certainly in terms of fatalities, we have at least 50 people dead now. We
still have
460 people who are unaccounted for. So those numbers are changing. They're changing every moment. We have thousands of people. I have so many friends now who literally have no place to live, who have been evacuated. Some of their homes have been burned down. Our mutual friend Mark up in Napa is standing guard literally over his neighborhood with, I guess, a little hose. It just seems like anything that you can do, you want to do, but it's so futile because the flames are so hot and they are so volatile and the winds are changing. Right now I'm sitting in my home office and I'm looking out my window, which is caked with white soot that has dropped out of the air from the ashes that have been blowing across the nine-county Bay Area.
Do they have any idea of the cause of the fire yet, or are they just so busy battling it they don't even have, you know, do they have anything?
The only thing that we've really heard is that most fires, they say 90% are man-caused. And that's all they're willing to commit to because literally they don't have enough people on the fire lines. I watched some of the most amazing video of the firefighters just standing with a hose that had no water in it, aiming it at a house that was completely burning down in front of their eyes. And that's the sad, unfortunate reality. I don't understand why there isn't any water in some of these hoses. They haven't been able to give us an explanation on that, but I do know that Santa Rosa, where I worked in radio for almost three years, it's just it's leveled. It's devastated. All my friends who are literally doing two and three times the shifts on air shifts that they would normally do. I mean, they're sleeping on the floor at the radio station because they have no place to go.
Well, prayers to you guys. You know, and I just don't think that this is getting enough national exposure as far as how much devastation, not only the loss of life, but the economic impact, where you have, 27, 28,000 acres that have been consumed. And do they have a percentage of what's contained?
They had 10% contained as of yesterday, but, you know, the winds keep springing up, so those numbers keep changing all the time. And 10% is really nothing, really. I mean, you hope for 50% containment, and then you can stop and take a breath. Right. You know, and go, okay, we might get through this. But 10% means that they still have active fires going everywhere. Mm-hmm. So it's really difficult right now. And the smoke that is choking our air is so bad. I mean, the particulate levels are so high right now that across the entire Bay Area, all of us smell like smoke. Literally, we smell like ashtrays mm-hmm. because we're walking around in this stuff. And we wear face masks. That's our new normal.
Wow. Okay. Well, prayers to you guys. And we'll keep praying. And I just hope that this gets a little more legs because, you know, when I do a call to action, when national media does a call to action, you see the American spirit come out, whether it's Hurricane Harvey or whether it's Puerto Rico or whether it's Florida. And we really need some support, national support for you guys. So I'll keep talking about it. And if there's, and of course you are with Media Equalizer. So tell the folks how Media Equalizer got started, and then we're going to get into some juicy stuff.
Okay, well, thank you, first of all, for the opportunity to tell people about it, because I really want them to come to our website. It's called MediaEqualizer.com. I'm very proud of the work that we're doing there. What we're doing is reporting on the stuff that the mainstream media and sometimes even Fox News won't cover. I mean, we've got some really, really interesting stuff. For instance, the story that just got picked up this morning that I've had up for the last couple of days is Berklee College Republicans have been targeted and they're being stalked and they are being harassed by the Antifa activists. A lot of them are complaining that they've been doxxed by Antifa. They are literally fearful of walking around on campus at UC Berkeley. Since when did that happen? I mean, I'm so concerned about, because these are basically kids. They're teenagers, you know. They start at 17, 18, 19, and go up to 21 or 22, and those are the college Republicans that we're talking about. So it is a serious situation across not just UC Berkeley, not just California, but across all campuses in the country, and it's time that we start suing the crap out of these people who are harassing, threatening, stalking, and the police are just ignoring the situation like they're doing in Berkeley.
So Antifa is threatening college students, the college Republicans on campus. How? Getting in their face, like, you know, using sticks? Has there been any violence?
Yes. As a matter of fact, one of the college Republicans has said that they have been assaulted by Black Lives Matters and some of the Antifa membership. Police have confirmed that the college Republicans have seen cyber attacks that has leaked out their own confidential information of several members of the college Republicans. Two assaults that we know of so far. I know that there are many more, but those were the ones that were reported to the police. All of their signs on campus, the college Republican signs, have been taken down, burned, or thrown away. It's just really a very, very frightening situation.
Isn't progressivism just so loving? Aren't they
just a loving lot?
There's just such a loving, welcoming group that love the First Amendment so much that they're willing to assault people, dox people, and commit cyber warfare against people that don't agree with them.
Absolutely. You have just summed it up very neatly once again, Miss Megan.
Well, thank you for exposing the ugly underbelly of the progressive left. Where is Janet Napolitano since she's UC Chancellor? Any word from her?
No, we keep asking Janet Napolitano to explain the $120 million slush fund that she has just kind of hanging around for whatever her pet cause is. But she won't respond, really, to Gavin Newsom, who's now the lieutenant governor, who wants to be the czar of the world and will be running for president, mark my word. Mm-hmm. He is the lieutenant governor, former mayor of San Francisco.
Which he left a complete cesspool behind with people defecating on the streets, urinating on the streets. But everyone has health care.
That's
right. And everyone has free heroin needles. Isn't that great?
We do, and we have a sanctuary state now, thanks to people like Governor Jerry Brown and Gavin Newsom, which means that we are just a magnet for crime, a cesspool of crime that is taking place. And, of course, if you should be fortunate enough to be arrested in the state of California for a serious crime, don't worry. They're not going to execute you. They've deliberately jammed up the whole pipeline for capital punishment. And by the way, you'll probably be out of jail within about 15 minutes because the governor's decided to let all the prisoners out. Isn't that special?
Yeah, and we're getting them over in Nevada. That's why our crime rate has spiked here. You can't run from California fast enough. I don't know how you stay there. But you know what? You're going to have to stick around, right? Because I got you for one more segment.
You got it.
Okay, good. And when we come back, let's talk about the latest Roger Goodall news at the NFL. Are she on hold? Oh, she is. Okay, sorry. Jameson, I didn't see Jameson put Melanie on hold, but I am going to go on hold just for a couple minutes, and you are too. Listen to our sponsors. They do some great work for us. They keep the lights on. And I'll be back with Melanie Morgan of Media Equalizer. You can go to MediaEqualizer.com. You can go to ReaganBabe.com. And always tune in to 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, and we'll be right back.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk Now. Talk That Rocks.
We are live and local all throughout Nevada and Southern California. Welcome back. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. And we're going to go right to Melanie Morgan because I want to get as much time with her on this next topic. Melanie Morgan of MediaEqualizer.com. She is breaking stories. She is talking about stories that the mainstream media, including Fox News, doesn't want to touch. But let's touch down, Melanie, on the NFL. What is the latest coming out of the No Fans Left organization? Didn't I hear that his Roger Goodall's wife started like a Twitter account or something? Fill us in.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, Roger Goodell, who, for those of you who are not football fans, and trust me, our 108,000 members of Stop the Scalpings, our Facebook group, we are all boycotting the NFL right now, and it's just been such an amazing thing to watch how Roger Goodell got really focused on patriotism and the national anthem after he started hearing from thousands of our membership and, of course, other Americans across the country. But now, I guess the heat got to be too much from Stop the Scalpings because his wife developed a fake Twitter account and started tweeting at him or on his behalf to defend him against people like us, which I find to be just kind of hilarious. He's hiding behind his wife's apron. That is just absolutely regrettable because The criticism is it's mounting. There is a secret account that she had that was seen constantly battling all the complaints about the football chief's decisions, of which there were many terrible ones. So I guess Jane Goodell loves her husband. That's sweet. But it's too late. It's too little too late. I think the NFL brand has developed a permanent tarnish around their halo. When you have a bunch of thugs who refuse to stand in honor and acknowledgement of our military men and women who are serving, some of the very same firefighters and police officers that they're knocking with Colin Kaepernick's criticism, we're out saving our lives here in the California North Bay. It's just inexcusable, and people have had it. They're up to their eyeballs in it.
Well, and we know that because we've seen the ratings continually dip. I just saw something come across Drudge that the Thursday night ratings of NFL dropped again. The Monday night ratings dropped another 18%. And so, you know, I wrote about it. But it's not in my name. But anyway, I wrote about it. I ghostwrite sometimes. But basically, you know, this isn't about patriotism. The pocketbooks are the weather vanes of the owners. You know, conservatives, we have a chance, you know, because of the conservative backlash, which the NFL did not understand that it would come at them, right? They underestimated their audience. They didn't really know their audience. They were trying to align themselves with their players on behalf of social justice. It's social justice. Every time you see social justice take hold in a corporation, you see a loss of profits, right?
Social justice warriors are the biggest economic bummer for average Americans that we've ever seen. So, yeah, you're right about that. I mean, and I'm looking at another headline right now where ABC, which, of course, has had Monday Night Football forever, is contemplating and getting plans ready for layoffs because the future really has been in doubt. First of all, there's cord cutting that's going on, so people do not want to watch the crappy TV shows that the networks are offering. But secondly, when you get social justice warriors involved and politics involved in some of our most revered television watching, which is like a mindless game of football, hey, we can all get behind that. People do not want to hear about it anymore. We're one of the most divided countries around, and certainly in our history. So let's all just take a chill pill.
Right. Let us be entertained. I mean, who other but progressives could take the fun out of football and the entertain out of entertainment? Leave it to them to destroy everything that they touch. And when you associate your brand with politics, you have to have the foresight and the understanding and the expectation that you are going to alienate a significant portion of your audience. It's nearly like brand suicide. And if you look at the rule book of the NFL, which is now going to be perhaps revised next week, whereby it's not that they could stand for the anthem, it's that they must stand. And that might come down next week.
Hashtag winning.
Hashtag winning.
Really good. I'd never get bored with winning.
That's right. Hey, where can people find you, Melanie?
Please join us at MediaEqualizer.com. And if you want to do stuff about some of the things that really make you mad, swing on over to Facebook to Stop the Scalpings, because we're really super involved in stuff there.
Well, thank you so much, Melanie. I'll be talking to you later.
You got it.
All righty. Folks, that was Melanie Morgan. Go to MediaEqualizer.com. Stop the Scalping. She's doing some great work over there. She and I are going to be working together on a lot of projects. Can't wait for that. But after this break, where are we? What time is it? I don't even know. It's 10:30. Okay, good. We're going to get back to more of your calls. 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232, or tweet at Reagan Babe. This is Megan Barth with ReaganBabe.com, and we'll be right back.
Seven 90, Las Vegas, and 98.1, Palm Springs. Talk now. Talk that rocks.
Welcome back to Nevada and Southern California. This is Megan Barth with ReaganBabe.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall. He'll be back here on Monday, same time, same place. And I don't want you to turn that dial, because on the 11 o'clock hour, I have Lenny Davis, a gun expert, former federal agent. He's in studio with me, right? Retired federal agent. And he is going to bring some truth to the mystery of the shooting in Las Vegas by Stephen Paddock. He is going to bring his professional experience and insight and really give us some great information to kind of dispel a lot of the disinformation that is going on. Specifically, we have, you know, independent journalists like Laura Loomer, who's been running around our town and reporting a whole variety of things that have yet to really be verified. And so he wants to kind of, you know, bring some truth, because the truth really is what is going to provide us with the comfort that we need. And also, the truth is going to prepare us in order to defend ourselves and defend our country and defend our community as we move forward through our grieving process, and what we need to do in order to avoid a mass casualty situation like this again. But speaking of independent journalists, you know, journalism, I believe that honest journalism is dead. And we've got a caller that's been patiently waiting on line one, Carl, and I'll get to you in just a minute. And he wants to talk about Trump against the First Amendment. You know, this is the progressive, you know, mantra lately that Trump wants to destroy the First Amendment because Trump had made a tweet the other day coming after fake news. And let me just read really quickly to you. There is actually a code of ethics for the Society of Professional Journalists. Did you know that? They actually have a code of ethics. But as Lenny had pointed out, well, it says professional journalists. Oh, yes. Professional. The preamble of the code of ethics is the members of the Society of Professional Journalists believe that public enlightenment is the forerunner of justice and the foundation of democracy. Ethical journalism strives to ensure the free exchange of information, that it is accurate, fair, and thorough. An ethical journalist acts with integrity. The society declares these four principles are the foundation of what ethical journalism and encourages their use in its practice by all people in all media. Number one, seek truth and report it. Number two, minimize harm. Number three, act independently. And number four, be accountable and transparent. Do you think that any journalist, let's say, I don't know, Jake Tapper, Rachel Madcow, who else? Who is it? Chris Tingle Up the Leg Matthews. Do you think that they've practiced any one of these four? Because they certainly haven't really checked off the boxes of being ethical. I was told by my aunt a long time ago that when you speak, when I started picking up a microphone, she said, you better be able to back up your words with facts, because a microphone and any sort of print media is a very powerful tool, and you do not want to use that tool to harm anyone. So let's go to a cut before we go to Carl. I want you to hear Jake Tapper come unglued when President Trump questions of whether or not some of these agencies should be licensed.
Yesterday, at the top of the show, I held up the Constitution because the president was talking about going after with the apparatus of the federal government, NBC News and other media organizations. He tweeted, network news has become so partisan, distorted, and fake that licenses must be challenged and, if appropriate, revoked, not fair to public. Now, beyond the technical fact that all of that is just incorrect, it's not how it works, right, and you don't need licenses and whatever. He's actually talking about getting the government to go after media organizations for reporting things he doesn't like. It just boggles the mind. I can't. If President Obama had said that about Fox or Breitbart or whatever, I mean, the reaction there would have been people with torches in the street.
Oh, okay. So let me just clue you in, Jake. You know, President Obama might not have tweeted that out, but he was using the FCC to go after conservatives in talk radio, on print. He was trying to go around Congress and use the force of federal agencies, like he did the IRS, like he did the DOJ, like he did the FBI, to intimidate and harass. And he actually wiretapped, not only Trump Tower, he wiretapped journalists to the point where the AP sued the Obama administration because they would not comply with multiple FOIA requests. So let's go to cut seven and hear what, Is it cut seven? Yes, cut seven, where the secretary, chief of staff, John Kelly, very politely puts fake news on blast.
John.
General Kelly, if I could, you said you're not so frustrated that you're thinking of leaving, but are you frustrated?
No, I'm not frustrated. This is really, really hard work, running the United States of America. I don't run it, but I'm working for someone who is dedicated to serving the country in the way that he's talked about for a number of years. There are incredible challenges, you know, economic challenges, healthcare challenges, all of that, obviously international challenges that have to be dealt with. I don't mean any criticism to Mr. Trump's predecessors, but there was an awful lot of things that were, in my view, kicked down the road that have come home the roost pretty much right now that have to be dealt with. This is hard, hard work, John. And my only frustration, with all due respect to everyone in the room, is when I come to work in the morning and read about things I allegedly said or things that Mr. Trump allegedly said or people who were going to be fired or whatever, or think, and it's just not true. That's my frustration. I mean no disrespect to y'all.
Every single headline that NBC, ABC, CBS has put out, according to statistics, has been 95% negative. Every single headline. We heard that Trump wants an increase in nukes from an unnamed anonymous source. We heard that President Trump colluded with Russia when he was a kid. That was from an anonymous source. We heard that President Trump slept with Russian hookers and wanted golden showers. That was actually from a produced dossier by a Democrat operative organization. We still haven't found out who paid for it. But the press ran with all of these anonymous sources as fact. They weren't seeking truth and reporting it. They weren't acting independently. They weren't being accountable and transparent, and they certainly weren't trying to minimize harm. We know for a fact, thank you WikiLeaks, that John Podesta and Hillary Clinton were coordinating with many press outlets in order to make sure that Hillary Clinton was put in the best light possible and that they were going to create headlines that would be favorable to a political party and a political candidate. So when Donald Trump comes out in a tweet, and it might be a little acerbic, okay, I'll give him that, and say we really need to look at these news organizations because they aren't doing their duty of providing truth to the American people. They are providing propaganda on behalf of a political party in order to keep the people stupid. Just like Jonathan Gruber told us. So let's go to Clinical Carl, shall we? Line one. Hi, Clinical Carl. How are you?
Pretty good. What do I got? About a minute? Okay.
Yep.
Freedom. I knew that would be it. Freedom of the press. The First Amendment was drafted in about 1787, not to abridge the freedom of speech or the freedom of the press in any form. Well, if you want to look at it this way, demagogues and dictators try to criticize the press first, then try to close them down. Like basically Trump says, we're going to look into the licenses of NBC or whatever, because that's the first thing that has to go under a dictatorship, basically. He also called freedom of the press could be disgusting. I heard him say that on television. I mean, that's the First Amendment. To me, look, I'm a loyal American. As a matter of fact, I'm retired. But when I was young in Miami, I was an ensign in the Coast Guard. So I did serve, and I am very patriotic in that point. But it scares me to hear this talk. Even Bannon, who I think is the lowest form, said there's only about a 30% chance Trump will last out his first term. And I think that's what's going to happen.
He wants to close them down, but he can't. He can't close down anybody.
But do you think, and Carl, and I want you to put, you know, a little objectivity on. I know you're a progressive, okay? I just want a little objectivity.
No, I'm not a progressive.
Oh, what
I'm
are,
not a progressive.
Oh, what are you?
I'm a moderate Democrat.
Oh, my God, there's a moderate Democrat left. Oh, thank God one exists. I thought you had all gone to the dark side.
Yeah.
I thought, yeah.
I know I'm mentally ill, right? I got to be mentally ill to be a Democrat.
No, not mentally ill. No, I think if you're a moderate Democrat, you're not mentally ill. I think if you're today's Democrat, which has been hijacked by the Marxists, then you there's definitely something wrong with you. So as a moderate Democrat, speaking of from a moderate Democrat standpoint, aren't you bothered by all of the anonymous sources that were making headlines as factual reports from the New York Times, from ABC, from NBC, from CBS? None of them are true. But yet they ran with these stories for months and months and months and months, leading the American people, perhaps like yourself, to believe that something was true when it was not.
Yeah, well, it sounds like Trump saying, I heard, and I've never heard seen a man lie, and you're going to spin it. But this man lies more than anybody I've ever heard in the White House in my life. I mean, he comes up with these things, one after the other.
Carl, you didn't answer my question, so I got to let you go. Sorry. Folks, we're going to... How many minutes do we have left? 2 minutes? Okay, cool. So, you know, Carl's not answering the question, but here we go again. Does the press have an ethical duty to seek truth and report it? Yes. Did the press align themselves with a political party in order to create headlines that were positive for one party and negative towards another party? Yes. Do statistics show us that a majority of reporters and journalists are donors to the Democrat Party? Yes. And if you are a journalist, you are supposed to put all of your bias aside and simply report the facts. Look, I have plenty of emails that come through my inbox, and you can reach me through ReaganBabe.com, that are a bunch of different theories, you know, a bunch of different tips. Hey, look into this. And I don't run with this anonymous source until I have completely fact-checked it to the nth degree. And a lot of the information that I get is not worthy of print. But there are tidbits amongst the masses that are really good. And I challenge the audience to take a look at headlines. And what I mean by that is, I'm watching Anderson Cooper the other day. Not because I wanted to, because I had to. I was in an airport. That's all they had on. And the headline was so incredibly biased. Just the headline. It had this assumptive close, but it had this initial, and I'll try to pull it up and read it to you. I think I took a picture of it and tweeted it out from @ReaganBabe. But the bias was so thick, it was just this assumption that labeled Trump, here it is, Trump aims at senator, hits foot. Now, aims at senator, which they were talking about that moderate piece of, you know, garbage down in Arizona, Flake, who's going to get his clock cleaned. But yes, Trump aims at senator, hits foot. Now, who are they to say that he hit his foot? What kind of headline is that? He didn't hit his foot because actually Jeff Flake and the rest of the moderates who campaign as conservatives in order to get elected, the moderates are targets of Steve Bannon. And the moderates are targets of the American people, because now we understand the moderates have been unmasked. We know where the traitors are, and we're going to run them out of town. And we have 63 million people behind us in order to do so. And if there are Republicans out there, whether they're in this state, like Dean Heller tweets out the other day, oh, you know, the new Trump executive order, it's going to open the markets and open competition and, you know, la, 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 and everything's going to be so great. Yeah, Dean, it's called capitalism and it's called the free market. So with guys like Dean Heller, who stand with Planned Parenthood, but didn't repeal Obamacare when he had the chance to under our new president, is going to be seriously primaried by Danny Tarkanian. And I am looking forward to the day when Danny Tarkanian is our new senator. Because guys like Dean and guys like Flake, and you got to watch the money. If you look at Alabama, that should be the harbinger. Because if Mitch McConnell is going to put $30 million behind someone like Luther Strange and lose, then follow the money. Watch where Mitch's money goes. If people like Marco Rubio are going to robocall for Dean Heller, that is the kiss of death. So watch where Steve Bannon goes. Watch where talk radio goes. And not necessarily where the swamp goes, because wherever the swamp goes, the voters are going to go in the opposite direction. And I'm looking forward to the purge. Well, at the top of the hour, right after this break, we got Lenny Davis sitting right next to me. Say hi, Lenny.
Hello.
And he is going to bring some truth and justice to this mystery. Give us some insight from his professional opinion on the Vegas shooting. We're going to take a call when I get back, too. We'll take Jay on line three. We lost another caller. But Lenny's going to be here for a couple segments. So I think what we'll do is we'll probably take some calls, too, because, like I said, there's so many questions out there that people all over the country have, and I want them to be able to ask you questions.
Okay.
844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. Right after this break, we're going to be back with Lenny Davis. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. On 790 Talk Now, Talk That Rocks.
790 Las Vegas and 98.1 Palm Springs. Talk Now, Talk That Rocks.
And welcome back, Las Vegas, Nevada, and all throughout the state of Nevada and in Southern California. This is Live and Local Now. We're broadcasting live out of Sin City, 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks. This is Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com, filling in for the great Kevin Wall. He'll return on Monday, same time, same place. And we only got 1 hour left, which is kind of sad. I could sit here all day. But this is a special next half hour because in the next two segments, right next to me, I have a friend of mine. I'm glad he's on my side and I'm on his side. Lenny Davis. Say hi, Lenny.
Good morning.
Good morning. And why don't you tell people who you are, your background?
Oh, you want me to talk?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm a retired special agent with Department of Homeland Security, and I've spent the last eight of the last 10 years as a subject matter expert for the Department of State in anti-terrorism. And the last couple of years, I have managed a security and private investigations firm here in Las Vegas.
Very good. So you kind of have a good background in, investigations, guns. You're a gun expert, right?
Yes. Been a firearms instructor since 1980.
Okay. And obviously there's a lot of mystery, right, that's surrounding this shooting. And let's take it piece by piece because I want to get more into the meat of it. And I want to be able to take calls. Because, for example, we got Jay holding, and Jay, I'll be with you in just right after the next break. And those can call in at 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. Okay, first question, one or two shooters?
One.
Okay. Now, why do you say that?
Because I can guarantee you, as much as the bloggers and the so-called experts are out there, you know, they're saying, well, it's a cover-up, there were two shooters, there were multiple shooters. Look, you've got one of the finest law enforcement agencies in the country, Metro, the FBI, and if you say, well, they're covering up, you've probably got a couple of hundred investigators on this. Nobody's going to cover that up. Somebody's going to say, hey, wait a minute, this was a cover-up. So it's completely just a myth.
Right, like out of 200 investigators, you would think if somebody saw something that wasn't
right. Oh, absolutely.
Right? I mean, that wouldn't you, as an investigator, if you thought that someone was covering it up at the top, you would leak?
Well, everybody in the world, it's not so much that you would leak, it's a matter of, hey, this is, you're violating the law. Mm-hmm. You're violating your oath that you take as a police officer.
Okay, and then after this break, we're going to take a call from Jay. We'll take more calls at 844-2-NEVADA, 844-263-8232. And then I want to talk to you about Jesus Campos.
You got it.
All righty. Megan Barth, ReaganBabe.com. Don't go anywhere. Lenny Davis on the other side. 790 Talk Now. Talk That Rocks.